We want to introduce you now to someone who's making waves in Boston's venture capital scene. Her name is C.A. Webb. She's 39 years old, and she's head of the New England Venture Capital Association. But before we tell you more, here's a bit of context. Last year, VC firms in Greater Boston invested around $4 billion in new companies. Compare that to the almost $27 billion Silicon Valley VCs put into new startups. So while Boston's still very active, it's smaller. And for almost 40 years, the New England Venture Capital Association was also decidedly less ambitious, not much more than a club that put on the occasional meet and greet. And if there's anything C.A. Webb has in spades, it's ambition. When she came on board, she wanted to pump some new muscle into the Boston venture capital world.
I sometimes think of them as like individual gunslingers, right, you know, out in the world pursuing these amazing deals and helping invest and grow companies. It was sort of a new way of being to say, let's stand together and let's rally for this ecosystem.
And she rallied them. Remember the push last year to ban non-compete contracts in Massachusetts? The effort ultimately failed, but Webb led the charge in one of the first really public political causes the New England Venture Capital Association decided to take up.
I'd never really gone to Beacon Hill beyond, you know, walking the Freedom Tour with my family when they were visiting from out of town. And suddenly here I was inside, you know, Senate chambers and House chambers and meeting with the, you know, Governor's Office for Economic Development and so on, trying to advance this conversation. And the thing that I found really heartening is that in Massachusetts, we exist in a pretty healthy political environment. You know, our government,
healthy,
for all of our frustrations, you know, I think there's an openness to learning. So we were able really readily to sit down with senators, sit down with legislators, start a conversation about something that had not been on their agenda months prior. That felt exciting. And I think it's harder to do that in California or Texas or some other states that are just bigger and more complicated and frankly less progressive and open.
But you know, on the other hand, I mean, like the big companies that were allied against your efforts, you know, I mean, they are major Massachusetts companies,
sure,
like EMC, Covidien, those kinds of, and their argument is that we can't let our intellectual capital,
that's right,
walk out the door and immediately become our competitors.
That's
like,
right,
that's bad business for us.
That's
their,
right,
argument.
Right. And, you know, on the one hand, it's a reasonable argument. And on the other, it really isn't, because it presumes that every employee is a bad actor, taking information that they know is very much the ownership of the company they're leaving and applying it in a new scenario. So I think we have to strike a middle ground and use more precise protections for companies that do protect intellectual property and trade secrets, but also allow good people to advance their careers.
We talked to C.A. Webb in a 16th floor conference room overlooking Kendall Square, sort of the Cambridge version of the commanding heights. She talked about growing up in Atlanta, but having deep New England roots.
My great-grandfather went to Northeastern. He was one of two graduates of his class during the Depression who had a job after graduation, but he turned it down to go to Vermont and run our family's country store. Huh. He then came back to Boston years later and ran the, I have the name not quite right, but it's essentially the National Dairy Association. And so he walked these streets of Boston, you know, rallying for the dairymen of New England. And so that story was something that, you know, growing up in suburban Atlanta kind of stuck in my brain. And when it was time to look at colleges, I only looked mostly in Massachusetts, but around New England, and wound up at Wellesley.
But business wasn't where Webb initially thought she'd end up. She majored in English and gender studies at Wellesley, but then she got a job at Care.com, the child and healthcare website, when it was in its startup phase. That gave Webb an entrepreneur's exposure to the VC world, which she says is critical to her work now in Boston, where two kinds of venture capital dominate.
We really have two worlds. I mean, there's the healthcare world of venture capital and startups, and then there's the technology world, and they're really different. So if you're a biotech investor right now, a healthcare IT investor, your eyes are just sparkling. Your world has never been brighter. So we have had an amazing IPO market in biotech, and we are, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the number one biotech capital in the world. On the technology side, we are going through a renaissance. I mean, there is a lot of capital flowing and new companies that are starting and rapidly scaling. We also actually have, I'd say, 7 or 8 really significant companies that are in the IPO pipeline that we'll see go public in the next year and a half. That compares to only, you know, a small handful, 3 or 4 companies that have IPO'd over the tech IPOs over the prior 2 years.
Tell me, like, what is the community? What is the culture of VC here in New England?
You know, one of the interesting things about venture capital that I think many first-time entrepreneurs probably don't understand as they begin their fundraising process is that while these partnerships are organized as firms and they have a name on the door and they have a website that tells a story about what they stand for and their investment thesis, ultimately venture capital comes down to the individual partner and what his experience suggests he can add value to in terms of the kind of ventures he'd want to pursue and invest in. And so it's very much an individualistic game. I think an interesting thing I've observed is the kind of newer generation of venture capitalists, those who are in their 20s, 30s, and, you know, early 40s, do operate from more of a collective mindset than those who went before them.
What about gender? I mean, we have to talk about women in this world.
Sure.
Broadly speaking, I believe the number is, what, 94-ish percent of partners in venture capital firms are men.
That's right.
Is that number accurate for the Boston VC community?
Yeah, very much. Very much.
Is that a problem?
It's really discouraging for a lot of us in this community, men and women included. I think that the reality is we all tend to gravitate toward what's familiar and comfortable, and I think that's just human nature. It's a risky thing to do, to go out and raise $300 million from limited partners and ask them to trust you in investing their money. And again, they then go to the social networks they know and invest that money. They have no motivation. They have no real reason to go out and look for diverse slates of candidates when they're bringing in a new partner, which, by the way, they might do once every 5 years.
But don't they have, like, the most powerful reason, which is what you just said, that without having diversity amongst the partnership, they may be inadvertently blinding themselves to any number of great business ideas because they simply cannot see them because they're outside of their immediate networks?
I wish more VCs felt that burning truth. But I think the reality is that most feel like they have enough deal flow and they're doing all right and it's going to work itself out. But I think the ability to move this quickly is for women who've been really successful in finance and in entrepreneurship and in other areas of business to go out and raise their own funds and start investing in great men and women entrepreneurs, right? Not just women's funds for women's sake, but women investors who have a great eye, who are going to go scout great deals.
Right. I mean, there's a number that came out of Babson that said that at this point in time, only 3% of the funds coming out of venture capital firms are going to companies that are led by women.
That's right.
3%.
That's right. Which is essentially zero, right?
Right.
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
What about, you know, if there might be a female entrepreneur who's listening to this right now? I mean, what would be your advice to her on the entrepreneurial side, you know, about how to really get traction amongst VC here in Boston?
Well, first, call me. I'm always happy to talk. But I think the biggest opportunity, honestly, as a woman, is to just go for it. You know, I see it again and again, women who feel like they need to get the master's degree and read the 100 books and be a true expert and authority before they found their company. No. Like, figure out half of it and then just start doing it, and you'll figure out the other half as you're going. It doesn't have to be perfect. It never is. Just do it.
You seem like such an energetic optimist to me.
And by the way, it's really hard. It's really hard for everyone, women and men. You know, I do this because I like hanging out with people who see possibilities, not problems. And that's what this is about. It's about inventing the future.
You have said before that you want to help write the next chapter for Boston. What does that mean?
What does that mean? I would like Boston to better reflect the people who live in Boston. I'd like our leadership across our institutions, our companies, our government to look like Greater Boston. So that means more younger people in positions of power. It means more women in positions of power. It means more people of color in positions of power. We're at a really exciting turning point. The Olympics has come to symbolize that a little bit, and there's some other changes happening across the city. Big searches for heads of museums and heads of academic institutions and companies and so on that symbolize that opportunity too. But I think there are a lot of us that are really eager to kind of get on with it.
C.A. Webb, you're starting to sound like someone who may have political ambitions.
Oh, let me tell you that I am a very politically active and engaged citizen, and I won't write that idea off, but it's not where my head is now.
We'll come back to you in 5 years. Well, C.A. Webb, thank you so much for talking with us today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
C.A. Webb is the head of the New England Venture Capital Association. We spoke with her at her office in Kendall Square.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston's a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.